There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
Oh, yes. That's how we get started. The second hour of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Before we get back in the discussion of Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, his announcement, also the announcement from Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh, both opposing the toll, I just had to get that riff in there and talk a little bit more about what happened with Layla. Like, not the guitar Layla, Dwayne Allman's guitar Layla, sold for $1.25 million at a recent auction. It would be a guitar, which actually may not be the most expensive guitar ever sold, I don't think. A gold top guitar is the one that that Dwayne played on Layla when he sat in with that other guitar guy. What's his name? Eric Clapton. Until recently, the guitar, affectionately known as Layla, had been on display at the Allman Brothers Band Museum in the Big House in Macon, Georgia. A museum director, Richard Brent, said of the amount, I don't think anybody expected that. The history of it is what sold it. The buyer, by the way, is unnamed. Wants to be anonymous. The buyer's agreed to share the instrument with the museum during certain times. It means that a guitar could be coming back to the museum in late November. Dwayne Allman played guitar on the first two Allman Brothers records, of course, and in Loan Me a Dime with Boz Scaggs. Brent said the recording Layla with Derek and the Dominoes is among the last times Allman played that guitar, but been picked up for $1.25 million and by anonymous buyer. Still kind of cool stuff. I mean, you imagine that as a conversation piece. Oh, that thing right there? Yeah, that's guitar Dwayne Allman played when they recorded Layla with Derek and the Dominoes. Well, all right. 109 FM Talk, 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I'll tell you what, we'll do this. We're going to go to Dr. Lou Campanosi from the Common Sense Campaign in just one second. I do want to play again for you what came out this morning. I think it was 8:17 on Twitter. Lieutenant Governor of the State of Alabama, Will Ainsworth, popped up a tweet, and to read the tweet first and then attached to the tweet, then there's a video. So the tweet said, "A state that built the rockets that sent men to the moon should be able to find a way to build a bridge without extorting the citizens it seeks to serve." And then attached to that was a quick video from the office there for the Lieutenant Governor.
"I'm Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, and I hold one of 9 seats on the Alabama Toll Road and Bridge Authority. For the last several months, I followed the proposed toll on the Bayway Bridge Project, and quite frankly, I found it to violate every conservative belief and principle that I hold. The $90 monthly toll that ALDOT has proposed for the Bayway Bridge would cost a 2-parent working family almost $2,200 a year just to drive to work. That's $2,200 a year that could be used for groceries, school clothes, utilities, mortgage payments, or countless other basic needs. The plan to toll the Wallace Tunnel, which has been completely paid off and toll-free for decades, makes an already outrageous situation even worse. Families that cannot afford the tolls will be forced to drive miles out of the way, which raises their already high fuel costs or forces them to be held hostage in their home county because of simple economics. For these reasons, I'm announcing today my firm opposition to the toll project. If it comes before the Alabama Toll Road and Bridge Authority, I'll be proudly casting a no vote and standing with the hardworking families of Baldwin and Mobile counties. A state that built rockets that sent man to the moon should be able to find a way to build a bridge without extorting the citizens it seeks to serve. I invite you to join me in finding a solution that embraces our conservative beliefs.
All right, and a gutsy call by the lieutenant governor there, I would think, since he probably got called to the governor's office pretty quickly after that one. I would say everything's really good in the, what is it, minute and a half there from lieutenant governor. I would not have gone with the drum and fife background. It seems I would have just said it without the background music. But listen, somebody up in Montgomery said that's the way to go. All right, man, we've talked about with this a whole bunch, and you heard from, of course, last week at the event at the Five River Center from the Common Sense Campaign Tea Party. Dr. Lou Campomenosi joins us now. Hey, Dr. Lou.
Hey, good afternoon, John. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. So this was a pretty darn big move today, and I've been trying to break it down that, yeah, I agree that we need as many voices as we can in opposition to the poll, but I have a cynical streak that when people get into something, you know, while they're running for an office in that cycle, it doesn't mean they don't believe it. It just doesn't carry the weight of lieutenant governor, who has no short-term play here to gain from and has taken probably a tongue-lashing from the governor's office.
To say the least. No, I mean, this is incredible. I mean, and what we're looking at trying to do is find other voices. Like, Ziegler's voice is all over the place, and we're supporting that. We're funding it to a very large degree in Huntsville, Birmingham, and now Montgomery today, too. So, but I think the thinking is, let's try to bring in some North Alabama people who have their voices, you know, who are known, and let their voices be heard, too. And I think that's the direction we're going in. And I mean, what better person than if we can convince the lieutenant governor to go ahead and join this and start running ads with his voice on this? And I think, to tell you the truth, we've got folks who can who know him very well. Senator Elliott and Senator Albritton have been working with him, from what we understand, and you know, they perhaps persuaded him to go down this road. However it came about, it is a great boost to the whole idea that we can actually stop this thing. And, you know, the governor may be mad at him, but all it does is creates another, you know, segment of opposition that we hadn't expected. But I think that it certainly adds to, you know, Ziegler's 50,000 almost people who are, you know, on the block the toll, plus the many other hundreds of people that are around just watching this. And I do think that, as you've said this before, when Senator Albritton had, you know, a 21-0 vote on the contract committee to delay what ALDOT was doing in terms of going forward with their legal team, that was a big sign, in my view, and I think in the view of others who have been watching this, that something was happening. And I think that something has now just coalesced into something a whole lot bigger than just us down here, you know, complaining about the toll. And I heard what Jeff Moore was saying about, what was it, The View and Bill Britt, that we're just whining down here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's outrageous. And I know you took him to task a couple of weeks ago. I think you can take him to school again on this.
Dr. Lou, here's what I think is, I mean, obviously we've talked about it a bunch, but I want people to understand why. I'm not discounting local voices. This is I'm all about local voices.
Right.
But to go away from the idealism, and let's get into the pragmatism of winning this, this is only going to be won with people from other parts of the state getting on board. I mean, we can cry all we want down here and get attention, but not until you start getting other areas of the state and other elected officials coming out and standing with us are we going to get what we want. And I think this is a big, big piece of that puzzle.
Exactly. It really is. And for the lieutenant governor to come out and draw a line in the sand on this particular issue, and as you say, I mean, he doesn't have a dog in the hunt, really. I mean, unless he wants to run for governor, and then I think what he's just done is made it pretty sure he'll win the vote down here, you know. So I think that, you know, getting these other voices, as you suggested, is critical, and we're in the process of working with other people to try to do just that, particularly the people who are on the toll authority. I think that the argument that Senator Albritton has made is that, in the end, if we lose 5-4, then we want all of those elected officials who are saying no. And so now you've got Albritton and you've got Ainsworth, and we're working on the others. And I think that's where we're going with this.
Yeah, another voice today. We talk about Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh coming out against
exactly.
the toll. Yeah, explain to people the toll authority. So I've told them a couple times that the governor walks in with three votes. Well, really four votes. The governor, her chief of staff, and her deputy chief, and then John Cooper with Aldott. There's four that we know that are for the toll. Okay, now, so there's just six in play, right?
Right.
And so,
well, I mean, if the finance commissioner guy, my understanding is that he's going to vote with the governor. So, I mean, she's already got the votes. She's got her five.
So the idea here is make it pretty obvious
that... It's a political statement.
Yeah.
The elected officials are saying no. And that covers them with the people. And it sends a strong message that maybe... the governor will think twice about going forward with it.
Yeah, so how does the governor... Yeah, how does... talk to Jeff a little bit about that last hour. Wonder how that's played out. If the governor is going to detach from this and how that happens. Is it, you know, one big move where she says, well, we made a mistake, or is it... is there going to be some kind of...
Right.
Something come up that, oh, well, we didn't see this nuance. I don't care really how it is, but it's, you know, it's not a long time between now and October 7th to kind of do a 180.
No, it's not a long time, but I mean, you know, if Elizabeth Warren can go on the radio, as I just heard her, telling all the Native Americans that she's sorry for whatever hurt she's done because she falsely claimed that she had Indian heritage... I mean, anything is possible, you know? So, I don't know. What the politicians do or don't do is many... It's like trying to figure out the motivations of all the bad people in the world who run countries. It's difficult. You just have to kind of play it by ear, see what happens, and I think that's what we're going to end up doing with her. But I will say this. According to people who were in... our meeting down at the BCA meeting in the Grand Hotel in Point Clear a couple of weeks ago, she was receptive to an alternative plan, whereas the Aldott Cooper was not. He did not want to hear anything about new resources or any of that, whereas she at least said the right words. So you never know.
Yeah, that's true. And we'll see what the crowd looks
we'll
like
see.
As well. Coming up in October, you're once again urging everybody to pack up and head north October 7th.
Exactly. And we'll be getting word out about the bus business. I have to say, though, that Senator Elliott had the best idea is to just, hey, the toll is here, the opposition is here, bring the toll authority down here. That's not a bad way to do it.
No, it isn't.
Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, governor didn't seem to. I had several reasons she said.
Yeah. Okay.
Remind folks, too, if they want more information about all this and getting details on whether events are coming up or if they have questions, frequently asked questions, where do they go?
CommonSenseCampaign.org and StopTheToll.org. Either place.
All right, very good, Dr. Lou. We'll check back with
Thanks
you soon. All right, Dr. Lou Campomenosi joining us, and we'll grab some calls when we get back from the break at 343-0106. Somebody said, about the foxes? All I said is our news partners at WKRG had a headline, right? And it just says Lake Forest residents to be on the lookout for foxes, to report foxes in the areas. So... somebody's suggesting that maybe more cougars than foxes. I don't think they're looking for cougars. Well, maybe they're looking for cougars.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, and speaking of veterans. Cool, looking like maybe taking the show on the road Monday to go hang out with year number two, the team from Fight or Die. The last week, Bryant Knight was in talking about last year's row across the Atlantic and the new team for this year, Evan Stratton, Luke Holton, John Fannin, and Carl Christensen, all veterans and all signing up to row the Whoopee. That boat across the Atlantic again in that Talisker Whiskey Challenge. They're training right here in Mobile at the Buccaneer Yacht Club like the team did last year. You may see them. I think they're taking them over to Pensacola as well. And they got a rowing out into the Gulf, doing an overnighter, doing all this stuff in training. They train right here, like last year's team, at Buccaneer Yacht Club, and it's too cool what they do. And we'll talk more about this coming up, and hopefully taking the show on the road out to maybe Buccaneer Yacht Club on Monday. On Thursday, this show is going to be live at the Mobile Chamber of Commerce's Small Business Expo. We'd love to see you. Lots of people visit with us each year, so stop on by. You're going to be there. Make sure to stop on by and see us. If you're not, go ahead and plan to take a little time in the middle of the day to go to the Small Business Expo and come by and say hi. We'll be right there. We'll park the – somebody was asking me earlier, how do we find you? There's all those booths. We park the van in there, the mobile command unit, the big Sprinter van is in there, so we're easy to find. Come by and say hello. That'll be on Thursday, but hopefully Monday, taking the show on the road as well. And if I can do the show from out by the water at Buccaneer, that's cool. All right. Yes, people suggesting more. All I'm doing is reporting that our news partners at WKRG are saying be on the lookout for foxes in Lake Forest. Okay, that's their headline. They pointed that out, that people should be on the lookout for foxes. And y'all have taken this somewhere else, looking for cougars in Lake Forest. Now what? Somebody says whales. What? No, whales don't live in Lake Forest. Really. Can't say that. Let's see here. What else? No, I did not see. No, so now there's people saying they're worried about somebody taking foxes from other parts of town to put them in Lake Forest. So, oh well. All right. It's absolutely come off the rails on the text line, and you know what? I like that. All right. Other texts coming in here. Oh, yeah, this one just coming in. A meeting has been called, as per our conversation just a second ago with Dr. Liu. A governor has called another meeting with the Mobile and Baldwin delegation Wednesday in Montgomery. So that same local delegation that met with the governor over at the Grand Hotel, I guess that was a week ago Friday, that group has been called to meet with the governor Wednesday in Montgomery. So maybe we'll find out more there. Imagine after the lieutenant governor came out so strongly against it and Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh has come out against it, nothing new from Speaker McCutcheon. Speaker McCutcheon a ways back was for the toll. We haven't heard anything recently that may change. Waiting to hear that. But I do see this. Thank you for the heads up. Governor has called another meeting with the Mobile and Baldwin delegation Wednesday in Montgomery. And once again, that meeting in Montgomery for all the public, all the folks like us, that's October 7th. That's open. All right. This texture, Wayne says, your last caller may have a great idea. This is from a little bit ago, from last hour. Last caller may have a great idea. Your access from the airport area to the Africatown Bridge would cut through Pritchard. Land acquisition wouldn't be a whole bunch of money in that area. But what if you just put a raised it wouldn't be an off-ramp or an on-ramp, it'd just be an extension of the connector. Couldn't you run it over the road that's there anyway? Maybe it might be trouble when you're building it. But I mean, I think you could, the idea, if they didn't, people didn't hear it last hour, the idea, if you could come off, just, you know, back to the suggestion of, hey, have we looked at a, because I agree we need a bridge, I think we need help on our traffic issues here. I just don't want a toll, but I'm not, you know, I'm a guy that wants us to build things and be a more, you know, connected area, make it easier to come and go. I mean, I'm for that. You should be too, just without a toll. And the idea is, if you could come off the 165 connector, think about that. When you go Cochrane Africatown Bridge, for me, I'll come up, I come down the connector, I get off, and you go through, come to the bottom of the ramp there, there's a light, right? You got to wait on the light, you take a left, then there's another light. And there may be a third light. I'm having trouble remembering. I know there are two lights as you're trying to go get on the bridge. What if you came off the connector and had a ramp that took you and put you onto the Cochrane Africatown Bridge? Then I think it was Sherry last hour was saying, you know, if you live from Airport Boulevard north, it makes more sense to just go north and take that route across. And maybe that helps. Does it solve the whole problem? I don't know. But it will absolutely solve some of the problem. We'll start helping move traffic that way. Like that, like I said, there were a bunch of other ideas. Ben said, will the meeting be open to the public? The one on Wednesday, I don't think is. That's the South Alabama delegation. But the one October 7th in Montgomery, absolutely, Ben. That's open. So that's open to all of us. Now, it is a Monday. You have to make arrangements, take off work, those kind of things. But they're working on trying to get to, you heard Dr. Liu talk about buses or get groups to be able to carpool to go up or whatever's going to go on like that to get people up to Montgomery. That is October 7th. So if you want to put that in the old schedule, I'm going to try to be up there, hopefully take the show on the road up there on that Monday. Some more ideas. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we'll get these and we'll get some more of these ideas compiled. We'll come back from the break and talk about them. They're coming in. I'd love to hear from you as well. Not just, I'm a slow reader on the text thing, so love to talk to you in person. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, glad to have you along. And phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. I want to check in with Todd Stacy, too, from the Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, and run through some of this with him, because he has a great perspective out of Montgomery, and maybe I'm making a lot out of this. Maybe it's not as big a deal as I thought it was when I opened up the Twitter feed this morning, then heard the audio from the lieutenant governor of the state, not just kind of being wishy-washy, but emphatically against tolls on the proposed I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Wallace Tunnel. Todd Stacy joins us now. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Going good. So I thought that was pretty bold, what went on today.
Yeah, look, Will Ainsworth, you know, he became lieutenant governor less than a year ago, and during this last year really has kept his powder dry, I would say, politically on a lot of issues. Just, you know, as lieutenant governor, you don't have to do a whole lot in terms of voting and taking positions. You really are in charge of running the chamber. So this really surprised a lot of people that today that he not only took a position, but just really went out there really on the state's biggest and hottest political issue and really staked out a stance against the governor.
Now, okay, to hear you say the state's biggest and hottest political issue, it means a lot because, I mean, you look at it from the perspective of Alabama, the entirety, over at Alabama Daily News, and that means something to me, that this is the big issue even outside of right here in southwest Alabama.
Oh, sure. And part of that's because there's not a whole lot else going on. You've got some medical marijuana stuff, and I mean, everybody's got their own local issues, but this is something that, number one, is a state government controlled thing, right? I mean, the state Department of Transportation is trying to do it. You've got one of the largest cities and one of the largest areas in the state that is really going back and forth on this. So yeah, it's and you know, you got to throw in the congressional race, you throw in the Senate race. There's a lot of politics involved. So, yes, it's easily the state's hottest political issue at the moment. And I don't think Will Ainsworth is the last politician that's going to opine here. I think you're going to see a couple more. I think we kind of talked about that last time. That, mm-hmm. you know, you're starting to see a lot more folks pay attention to this and you know, sort of wade into it. And that's what Will Ainsworth does. That's what it tells me, is that this is now a political issue and worth getting into.
Well, and from a perspective of, yeah, sure, he's lieutenant governor for the entire state, but he is a North Alabama political commodity. I mean, I'm not taking away from people from here that have worked on this project for a long time, but it's a little more man bites dog of a news story when somebody from up there who doesn't have any short-term political gain to be made from this.
Maybe not in the short term, but look,
long-term, this is yeah. I get it, but you know, this is a big risk.
Just ran a very effective campaign, and they competed. He and Twinkle Cavanaugh really competed for that Mobile Ballin vote, especially in the runoff. And so he gets it. He knows what people are talking about down there, and he certainly has statewide ambitions. And so he was going to be first to the punch on this. I think coming out on a Monday like it is, when nobody else is talking about anything, just to kind of throw a punch here and really, you know, throw a wrench into things, maybe the appropriate metaphor, is significant. He knows what he's doing, and he knows this is a potent political issue down there. He wants to be out front and in his opposition here, not following behind somebody else. So I think that's what you're seeing here. He wants to be out front. He doesn't want to follow the leader.
Okay, and I know that Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh has come out against it as well, but just you have deep knowledge of the governor's office and the inner workings in Montgomery. So, just a guess, not that you're knowing, reporting, I'm asking you as a friend. Do you think he was called to the governor's office, or she called him, or she went by his place when she figured out what he was going to do?
Well, I guess the question would be whether or not the lieutenant governor called the governor, whether or not Ainsworth called Kayabe to say, hey, by the way, just out of courtesy, I'm going to kind of drop a bomb on this whole toll bridge thing. Just want to let you know I'm about to tweet this. That would be my question, is whether he kind of gave him the courtesy call. Because if not, well, either way, I can guess, give you an intelligent guess here that the governor's office did not like what happened today.
Yes.
But they would not like it even more if there was no phone call before to say, hey, here's a heads up, we're about to drop this bomb. But who knows? It's politics. It's a contact sport. And Kay Ivey's, you know, she's not new to it. She's been through a battle or two on her own.
Right. But I mean, I just imagine it was an uncomfortable conversation because, I mean, the governor, while, you know, has not said she was, she's in so many words said she was a supporter of the LDOT plan, right? The tolling plan.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Department of Transportation's plan. She, you know, it's not necessarily the KIB plan, but she supports it.
She supports LDOT.
Yeah, she has supported her transportation director. She has said, hey, this is the plan that we have. We're going to go forward with it. And you know, we talked about that last time, how that was sort of the starting point of the argument here. I don't think Ainsworth is the last one that's going to opine here, but I'm sure that I'm sure there were some phone calls back and forth. I just wonder, do you give the courtesy call? Do you say, hey, we're about to drop a bomb here. I just want to give you a heads up. That may be the nice thing to do, but it also gives them an opportunity to try to talk you out of it. So maybe not. Maybe ask forgiveness instead of permission.
How does this play out in the tolling authority, right? So we walk in the tolling authority with the cards stacked in favor of LDOT. I mean, heck, the director is one of the members, the governor's chief of staff and deputy chief of staff. I mean, that has put a lot of weight on the pro toll side before it even started. So to me, it is telling that people are, you know, it's not like everybody else was in on no toll and they were just waiting for one more person to jump on board on this group.
Well, the real answer there is that we don't really know because we haven't gone through this in like 4 or 5 years. They had a toll plan that they considered for North Alabama, but that plan kind of fizzled out, right? They were talking about a toll bridge over the Tennessee River.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to connect Decatur and Huntsville. You know, not nearly as big of a deal as the Bay Bridge, nothing close to that, but it still was going to require a toll to get it going right away. And that plan kind of fizzled. So, you know, I wasn't paying very close attention then when the toll authority was supposed to get that. I doubt many others could remember that either. So we don't really know. But they'll have that meeting on October 7th. I think, look, there's a long time between now and then. You just never know what other proposals might come up. What I heard from Will Ainsworth today was that not only, I mean, obviously he opposes the toll, but it sounded like to me that there were plans afoot that to have a different proposal. And I don't know any details or anything like that. It just seems to me that there's going to have to be some kind of alternative proposal. And if they do, that would make for an interesting meeting. And if they do, do they release it before that meeting to try to build support for it? But it sounds like not just him, but others are interested in floating something different.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, one thing that may happen here is if you come out in complete opposition, at least it then gives you a leverage point to negotiate something that's less in scope or charge or method than it's being laid out right now.
Oh, I'd agree with that. Also, let's just say at the end of the day, there is a toll, but it's less, right? It's a less drastic, it's a more reasonable toll. Maybe finding a way not to toll the Bay Tunnel and all this stuff. But, you know, maybe, what if it's that? Well, if you're a politician that has come out and said no tolls never, where do you go? Do you try to say, well, all right, this is more reasonable and this is acceptable? Anytime you try to stake out a hard position, you know, zero tolls, no tolerance, that kind of thing, you know, it comes back to bite you sometimes if a more reasonable plan comes about and maybe there's a way to, sort of compromise on that.
Well, I think you just mentioned it. I can't speak for anybody other than myself, but I do live, eat, and breathe this stuff and talk to a lot of people every day. If this was if this was tolling of a bridge and not the Wallace Tunnel, I'm telling you right now, the pushback wouldn't be anywhere near what it is right now. If they had said, we're going to put a toll on this bridge we're building, but you can still take the Wallace Tunnel as it is, you and I wouldn't be talking about this.
Well, you've said that all along, Sean, and I trust you in your opinion on this as far as really having the pulse of from the folks. But that's different than what a lot of people are talking about. I mean, I trust your judgment on that. There's a lot of folks saying zero toll, no toll. We're never going to accept any kind of toll.
You know why? Let's not dance around the beat around the bush here. If you don't negotiate hard and establish some leverage, you have nowhere to make a deal, right? You have to have something on extreme if you are going to work a deal out. You have to have some kind of leverage. If come into this, you have no leverage and don't have people behind you, then we know what would happen. It was about to happen as it is.
Well, Sean, that's the way I negotiate, and that's the way I think everybody should negotiate. But I was a part of too many failed negotiations in Washington and in Congress where you had people on both sides that just refused to compromise because they had gone out and told their voters, absolutely not. I am a hard no on this. I can't do anything. And that, it's either a good negotiating position or you're backed up into a corner. I would hope that folks would want to negotiate in good faith, but anytime you go absolutist and say, no toll, never, I'm never going to agree to that, then you kind of put yourself in a box. I think people would understand you coming around and compromising and negotiating, but a lot of folks won't because of today's, you know, this day and age, the absolutist mentality.
What about the time frame? That's another issue I've had with it is, yeah, I don't like to be rushed. And you can say, oh, you've had 22 years. We've had since first announced on this show in January, they're going to toll both. And really, it did not get traction with the folks until May or so. So, this idea that it has to be done right now and the decision has to be done right now, we can't wait to see what 2020 holds. I think that rubs a lot of people the wrong way, too.
We'll see. I think a lot of folks are really curious as to, are there any other funding mechanisms? Is there anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Let's flesh that out. I don't know. I mean, I read what the governor wrote. I've been briefed by Aldott, you know, basically putting it down saying, not really. I mean, there's a hope, maybe, for some of this go make some money, but it's certainly not a guarantee. And I guess that comes down to a question for the folks, for the people down there, is that if it were waiting another 10 years, is that worth it? Or would you want a scaled-down project that maybe isn't quite as good? And so, you know, that's the choice people need to make. Or what if it's the alternative would be no bridge and just no project for another 10 years, and is that acceptable?
Yeah, but why does it have to be that extreme? Why does it have to be 10 years? What if you wait for 2020, right? You wait to see what happens. If President Trump is reelected, and look into the first quarter of 2021. That's why I feel like the argument isn't quite often fair, because people, oh, if you want to wait 10 years and see, now I want to wait till the first quarter of 2021, see if there's any chance of some more federal money in here. And I don't think that's too long to ask.
Well, sure. 10 years was arbitrary. I guess I was just kind of throwing that out there. It's not my argument. But it does come down to a choice. You know, is it okay to wait? What are the consequences of waiting? And just to be really clear about all that, because I do think there's hyperbole out there. And I don't think it's fair to just kind of say that, of course, there's money and we're just neglecting, the state's just neglecting money. We're just, you know, throwing money away. That doesn't really make a lot of sense, because look at the political pain they're dealing with over this. If there really was money for the taking, of course they would take it. But they're dealing with this federal environmental and what qualifies, the scale of the project and all that kind of stuff. So I think we need to be realistic and honest about what funding exists. And if it requires waiting, then let's have a conversation about that and what the positives and negatives are. But I don't think it's really fair to demand a bridge, a glorious bridge, and all this, and demand no tolls. It doesn't all add up.
And I don't think the hue and cry for a glorious bridge was there. I think that was built in. But there, like I said, there are so many layers to this onion. This has been add-on after misunderstanding by the public versus one understanding from the people that are in charge, that I think we've gotten to this point where people, they don't even know, we may not even be talking about the same issues.
Well, that happens a lot, and it usually doesn't help when politics gets thrown in. We've talked about that. But look, it's a real issue. I think it's more real for the people than maybe sometimes it is the politicians, but you know, it's no small thing to ask people to pay for a toll to cross the bay, no matter which way they go. And so I'm not surprised it's a big issue. I think it's interesting to see the politics play out. And you're right, it's gone way beyond Mobile. It's here in Montgomery, and it's not going anywhere for a while. But I would like to see more good faith good faith negotiation and conversations. Hopefully that'll happen. I don't know if what Will Ainsworth did today is adding to that or not, but it certainly did throw a kind of a wrench into everything, and that's what politics is all about.
That's for sure. All right. You read more about this and so many other stories when you get the email from Todd. And tell folks how to sign up for the daily email.
Oh, sure. It's really easy. We'd love to have you as a subscriber. It's free. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Right at the top, you'll see subscribe. Just click it, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. Be glad to have you as a subscriber.
And speaking of subscribing to not, in this case, read, but to listen, I have not gotten a chance yet, but hopefully in the next day, I cannot wait to check out In the Weeds. You had Martha Roby on. That's your podcast for everybody that, In the Weeds.
Right, yeah. We call it In the Weeds with Alabama Daily News, because we really like to get down and talk about stuff beyond the sound bites, beyond the talking points. So I had Martha Roby on. You know, I used to work for her. I was her comms director in Congress. And so I wanted to really get to know why she decided not to run, and some of the factors there, and really talk about how Congress has changed over the years and what she plans to do next and all this. So it was a nice little discussion. We talked about the future of the 2nd District, a little bit of politics. But, yeah, it's right there. It's on the homepage. You can listen, of course, subscribe via podcast, wherever you listen and all that. But it was a fun little discussion. I'm glad we got to do it.
No, it caught my eye. I said, man, that is on my to-do list to go listen to that soon. All right, well, we'll talk. Believe me, another day there'll be a whole bunch more stories here in the state of Alabama. We hope to talk to you about those coming up very soon.
All right, Sean, that'll be good.
Okay, I can't promise that, but we'll be, for sure, the unruly South Alabama contingent, all right? All right, 153 FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 158 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile for today. I'll be back tomorrow for Mobile Mornings. Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. Y'all stay close. Paul's, believe it or not, talking about football. It's a great time of year. Football getting cranked up. By the way, we'll talk more tomorrow morning about all the slate of Auburn football activities coming to your radio very, very soon. See you.